Well, before we jump into our scripture for the day, I just want to take a minute to sort of review where we've been. We've been in the midst of our Living a Life on Loan series. And we started off many weeks ago with our puzzle piece. And hopefully many of you got the word to bring it back today. How many brought it back this morning? All right, we're getting there. If you have your piece at home somewhere and didn't bring it today, that's okay. Bring it back next week. It's starting to get reassembled on a table out there by the library, and I invite you to bring it in. And if you're a puzzler, you love doing puzzles, stop by this week and work on it. It's worth a try. Oh, that was fun. But to remind us, the puzzle piece, you picked up one because it was a symbol. Symbol that each one of us is unique and distinct, and yet part of the larger picture, part of the larger picture of what God is up to, and the redemptive work that God is about in this world. And each part matters. The picture isn't complete when we're missing pieces. So you matter, and I matter. Our stories matter to the whole. In the midst of our series, then, been reminding us of several elements of that, then, that God has a way of seeing this world through grace lenses, and we're invited to look at the world that way. That we are then called to be dispensers of grace, not unlike those little Pez candy dispensers, just sharing grace one to another. That we have work to become good neighbors. And then some of the ways that we become that good neighbor is through developing our spiritual habits of fellowship, study, service, and worship in our 4x1 challenge that we talked about. And all that's helping us to live the life that we've been given, a life on loan from God, the best of what God desires in our life. And that's where we're headed this morning, particularly as we look into a parable that Jesus shared, as he did many times, many different parables. Today, the parable of the talents. And so I invite you, whether it's in the Bible you've got with you or up on the screen, we're going to go through this this story Jesus shares. He begins and says this: "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. Now the one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Well, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. Oh, see, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.'" And now the story turns. The one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Well, then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him. Give it to the one with 10 talents. For all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Whew, it's kind of a heavy word, isn't it? It seems like a great story is moving, lots of great things going on. We're investing, making profits, all is well. We've got 5, then 10, we've got 2, then 4, and then there's the 1, and uh-oh, that doesn't go so well. Like most of Jesus' parables, there's a trajectory for the story, and then it turns. And we're perhaps startled and shocked a bit at it. Where does it go, and what does it mean? That's what I want to unpack this morning, the parable of the talents. Because it has everything to do with you and I, everything to do with living this life on loan. Think about the beginning of the parable. The master, he has everything, and he's going to go away for a while. And so he doles out what he has to his servants. Everything he has, tells us. That's a generous master. How generous, you might wonder. What does this thing called a talent mean, anyways? What is 1 versus 2 versus 5? Well, a quick addition work here. One talent we found in the ancient world was something equivalent to 6,000 to 10,000 denarius. What's a denarius, you ask? Thank you for asking. Appreciate that. Denarius was the way of talking about a day's wage. All right? And so to the simplest amount, the one talent given is equivalent to 6 or maybe as much as 10,000 days' wages. This is a heap of money. None of this is small. Now, you do the math. 2 days or 2 talents would be something equivalent to 12 to 20,000 denarius or days' wages. Do the math. 5 talents, something along the lines of 30 to 50,000 denarius. None of this is small. This is all significant amounts. Woo! That's amazing. If you think about a day's wage, think about how many days we work. At the smallest amount, 6,000 days of work is something equivalent to 20 years' wages. Wow! This is a generous master. And of course, it's a parable. It's not about money particularly. It's about our lives. It's about the gifts God has given us, that we have been given a life, and that is a pretty valuable thing. And we might equate different value with it, whether it's 1 or 2 or 5, but we have a generous God who gives us life, pretty amazing life. And the parable is here to remind us of the master's generosity and to challenge us. What will you do with this amazing gift that you've been given? What will we do with our talents? Well, this isn't the first time that God has tried to get this across. We can step back through Scripture all the way to the beginning, to the garden. There, Adam and Eve are formed, again, the gift of life given by God. And what does God do? God gives them a purpose. He says, look, here's this amazing garden before you. Take care of it. I want you to be stewards of it. Be good gardeners. Take care of the fruits, the trees, the vegetables, the animals. This is yours to take care of. Stewardship is the word at the core of all of this. We are stewards of what God has given us. And what will we do with it? We have great purpose to take care of what we've been given. The only question is, what will we do? Every once in a while, our church and church historically creates a confession, a statement of faith, a creed. The church, Presbyterian Church in the 60s created a confession. Confession of 1967. One of the key phrases in that confession says this: life is a gift to be received with gratitude. Thank you, God. And a task to be pursued with courage. We have this great gift, and it will take courage. Courage to move forward and to say, how will we best use it? We have lots of freedom in that. What will we do? We've been given talent. Now, you may not know, the Greek word in this text, talenton, is actually where we have our English word, talent. comes as a transliteration, just develops over time. So even as in this text, it is about a specific amount of money, we've taken it and now enlarged the idea of a talent to our gifts and our abilities, our skills, the things we're good at, the things we do well. And I think that's at the core of the larger question of the parables, not just what will you do with your money? It's symbolic, of course. What will we do with who we are? Our strengths and abilities and talents. We each have them. And at the core of the parable, of course, is a problem. A problem with the one talent servant, right? This is scary stuff. The other two seem to get the idea. We've got something of the master's, we're stewards, we're supposed to invest, we're supposed to grow it, supposed to make it enlarge, use it wisely. But the one talent servant, he doesn't do so good. What does he do? He takes it, buries it, and he comes up with a story. Story, you're a pretty harsh master, so I didn't want to lose it, so I just kept it safe. And the master calls him on the carpet, doesn't he? He says, oh, you thought I was harsh, master? You're just making excuses. You didn't want to do the work it takes to really use what you have wisely. He calls him lazy and wicked. Whew, it's heavy. I don't want God to call me lazy or wicked, but, well, if I'm honest, sometimes I think I'm lazy and wicked. Sometimes I'm not doing and using the gifts I've been given for God's purposes. Sometimes I'm just using them for me, for my glory, not God's glory. And, oh, that's when things are going astray. Sometimes I'm burying my talents. I was thinking about this week a lot, this whole idea. What are the talents I have? What are my gifts and abilities? And are some of those things that I've sort of hid, let go, sort of wasted? I think I have. I think I have this ability. I can speak a foreign language. I speak Spanish. Now, I'm not fluent by any means, so if you're a fluent speaker, go easy on me. All right. But I lived in Caracas, Venezuela for 3.5 years as a teenager, and so I caught a lot of the language, and so there's still some in here, but if any of you know language, you know if you're not using it, you're what? Losing it, right? It's like so many things. We think we're just sort of setting it on the shelf, but we're really losing it. And I can tell you that's true for me in Spanish. When I don't use it, it gets rusty and stiff and fades, and I feel like I'm that talent, one talent servant who's sort of just buried it and let it sit. That's not doing anybody any good. So I was thinking of that this week, going, man, I need to work on that. I have this potential and this ability. What will I do with it? Dr. Henry Cloud is a clinical psychologist. He's written several books. Maybe some of you are familiar with him. He says this. He says, one of the worst things you can die with is potential. Die with failures before you die with potential. Every one of us has talent. I don't know what that is for you. I understand some of that for me. And every talent is potential. Potential to transform, potential to make an impact, potential to reach and to bring healing and mercy and love, to bring God's kingdom in the flesh, just as we see in Jesus. We have potential, and if we're not using our talents, then we're the one talent servant, and we're just sort of burying it, and just wasting away in the ground. And maybe sometimes we let those things just sit because it seems a little scary to risk with it. I know for myself, the whole language piece, like the rustier I get, the scarier it is to try and engage in a conversation in Spanish again, right? I'm going to say the wrong words. I'm not going to remember my vocab. I'm going to sound like an idiot, right? So you get scared. Like, I better not. So the longer we persist in the fear of risk, we lose it. Peter Sage is an English entrepreneur. He's written a lot about risk and courage and leadership. He says this. He says, look, life is not a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in sideways, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming, woohoo, what a ride. Now that's life. That's life, using our talents for God's purposes. And when we're just using it for us, we get sidetracked. Things get wasted, off task. But when we're using them for God, they begin to multiply and have greater and greater reach. It's powerful. I was thinking of an example of this. There was a couple I met years ago in Colorado, Ralph and Roberta. Amazing couple. They were into their mid to late 60s at this point. Ralph had just retired from a successful career in the petroleum industry. And they were at that point looking at life and saying, we have resources, we have time, and we have our health. Let's journey. Let's explore the world. Let's do some traveling. We've always wanted to do that. We've never been able to do that much. So they did. They started to travel. And at one point, they found themselves in South Africa, enjoying Johannesburg and the like. And they met some people, one of whom said, you know, Ralph, Roberta, I want you to come see something. Took them over the border up into Zimbabwe, formerly known as Rhodesia, and showed them a portion of Zimbabwe, rural, economically depressed, struggling. Particularly, they were shown some schools in this little rural zone, schools that were falling apart, that holes in the walls, holes in the roof, so much so that the buildings weren't even safe. They weren't even meeting in the classrooms anymore. Whatever kids were coming and whatever teachers were there, they were just meeting out in the grounds of the school. They were doing their work in the dirt because they had no school supplies, no paper, no pencils, no textbooks. I mean, it was thin when it comes to school and education, and it broke their hearts. And Ralph and Roberta said, we have to do something. We have been given talents. We can't use them just for ourselves. So they came back and they asked the church, what can we do? Let's have a book drive. And so we gathered old textbooks from local schools and sent them over. And that began a journey that continues now, 20 plus years later, where schools are flourishing and children are being fed. Over 1,000 children day by day getting fed and school supplies being paid. I mean, it's amazing. But what happened was Ralph and Roberta recognized their talents. And they said, I think God's got a bigger purpose for us than our travel. And they traveled a lot back and forth to Zimbabwe over those years. And they would go and they'd spend months in country and then come back and raise funds and encourage and get other people on board and develop partnerships. And Ralph passed away a few years ago. Roberta's still at it. They're using their talents. And I think, I can imagine Ralph now as he's passed. He was greeted by Jesus, who said, well done, good and faithful servant. And Roberta will be greeted the same way. Don't you want to hear that phrase? Well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, I know I do. And so I struggle and I wrestle with what are the gifts, what are the talents I have? How can we be using them for God's glory, for God's kingdom? What are the gifts you have, the talents you have, and how can you use them for God? Now, one more story. I heard this week on the radio as we were coming up to Veterans Day, and it just struck me that this had everything to do with stewardship, even though it was not phrased that way, it wasn't couched that way, it wasn't a Christian story or anything, but it was a powerful one that I think still gets at the core of who we're called to be. It's about a man named Michael Reagan, not the son of Ronald and Nancy Reagan, by the way, different Michael Reagan. Michael Reagan was a 19-year-old serving in Vietnam. Like many veterans, when he came back, it was hard. Soldiers weren't welcomed. He had his own trauma from the horrors of war. But he came back and he made a go at it, working and doing what he knew best. And he was an artist by trade. And so he would do portraits. People would commission him, oh, here's my children, do a portrait and that sort of thing. Well, his life took a dramatic turn in 2003. I got a call from a woman who had lost her husband in Iraq. And she said, can you do a portrait? And he said, of course. I'll do it for free. You don't have to pay me. It's just my respect for you and your husband who served. Did the portrait. Didn't think that much about it. Sent it off to her. Received a call from the widow shortly after she received it, and she just let him know. She said, look, I you need to know. This means so much. She said, I looked into his eyes, and we could talk again. I hadn't been able to say goodbye in the ways I needed to when he passed. You brought him home. Thank you. Thank you. He hung up the phone. Was overwhelmed by it. He realized he'd been given a talent, and he'd been using it, but there was a better purpose. He turned to his wife, and he said, honey, things are about to change. After what I just heard, I have to do them all. What do you mean? I have to do a portrait for every family who's lost somebody in Iraq and Afghanistan. What? But that's monumental. It's huge. Yeah, I know. I've got to do it. He figured that would be a five-year task and maybe 1,500 portraits, but from 2003 till now, of course, he was still losing service people in Iraq and Afghanistan, and so the numbers kept growing. To date, and let me get the number right here, to date, it has been 13 years now since he began this project, all pro bono work. He's done 4,634 portraits for 4,634 families and continues day in and day out, two portraits a day. And he knew it was the right thing to do. He knew it helped these families grieve and say goodbye. But he didn't know how it was going to shape him. Because, of course, when we're really using our talents, it shapes us. And one Gold Star father talked to him one time and said, you know what you're getting out of this, don't you, Michael? Your soul is coming home. Your soul has been stuck in Vietnam, but it's getting to come home. See, when we use our talents the way God has designed us to use them, for greater glory, for the larger redemptive impact in the world, it heals us too. It grows us as well. You, friends, we have been given talents. It is money, it is time, it is abilities and skills, it is all of that, our lives. And I wonder this week, I wonder if you might examine who you are and say, what is one of those talents that maybe I've buried for a while? I haven't really brought out lately. It's sort of wasting away. Maybe it's a language. Maybe it's an art form. Maybe it's a passion for something. But I wonder if the Spirit isn't perhaps nudging us these days to say, let's bring that talent back out of the ground. Let's unbury it and begin to use it again for God's purposes. Gracious God, this is challenging. We want to be the five-talent servant and the two-talent servant who multiplies what you've given us, who uses it for amazing impact and reach. But often, Lord, if we're honest, we're more like the one-talent servant, and we sort of let things sit and waste and hide. Or we use it for all the wrong purposes. Lord, this week, convict us of that and help us to pay attention to the talents we've hidden and to pull them back out. Begin to invest them wisely again for your kingdom purposes. This we ask today in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.